Jesus told his apostles, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." That's taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 21 to 23. And that was on Easter Sunday, that first day of the week. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, why are we going all the way back to Easter Sunday when we're 50 days later? Well, the reason is Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit in a special way, and we're going to talk about that. Over 40 times in the Gospels, Jesus proclaimed that he's been sent from the Father. And now he says he is sending them. And for that matter, he is sending us. Can you just imagine what must have been going through the apostles' minds? They'd grown up being taught by their rabbis that only God could forgive sins. Well, God is going to forgive sins, but through them. They're given the authority after they are given the promise and the most precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed upon the apostles, and in doing so, I believe that he ordained them to be ministers of forgiveness, but would not be fully receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like Paul describes in our second reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In the ordinations that we have in our Anglican churches, when someone is studying to be a priest, at the end of the process, after receiving their Master of Divinity degree from seminary, they are ordained to be what's called a transitional deacon. The word deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos, which means servant. 16 years ago, on June 5th, I was ordained a deacon at St. John's Cathedral in Jacksonville, with the bishop bestowing the Holy Spirit upon me with the laying on of hands and the anointing with oil or chrism. However, there are things that I could not do as a deacon that I can as a priest. 6 months to a year after ordination, at the discretion of the bishop, the transitional deacon once again comes before the bishop and is ordained to the holy order of presbyter or priest. For me, it was December 11th, 2005. Once again at St. John's Cathedral in Jacksonville, with the laying on of hands and anointing, not just by the bishop, but this time every priest that was present got to lay hands upon me. You want to talk about feeling the weight of the church? And I just had to wonder if some of them were pushing. I don't think so. It was just amazing. Putting the weight of the church upon you. It's an awesome feeling. By the way, the stole that I'm wearing today was given to me on December 11th, 2005, and this was kind of interesting. It was inscribed, the Reverend John Edward Cummins. This was the stole that was put on me by Marilyn and Teresa and John, and also Father Neil LaBar, who is now Bishop Neil LaBar. He presented me to the priesthood. You only get to wear red on certain occasions in the church. It's Pentecost, confirmations, and ordinations. Just absolutely wonderful. We have vocational deacons. We have two vocational deacons here with us today. We have Deacon Diane and we have Deacon Bob. They are not continuing on toward priesthood, but they have been called to continue to be diakonos, servants for Christ. Now, a deacon, and you might not know this, but a deacon can baptize, can marry, and do funerals. But a deacon cannot do what we call the ABCs. The ABCs are the absolution, the blessings, and the consecration of the elements, the bread and wine. It's kind of funny. When I had been ordained a deacon, I served for 6 months in Tonawanda, New York, alongside another deacon at the time. And he was a vocational deacon. And when I was ordained a priest, I came back from Jacksonville, and I said to Deacon Ed, "Where's the holy water?" And he said to me, "You make the holy water." And I was like, duh. Okay, ABCs, right? It's a very distinct difference between deacon and a priest. A priest wears the stole vertically, while a deacon wears the stole horizontally. A priest will always remain a deacon as well as being a priest. Both the deacon and the priest are ordained to do another specific task, and that is to share and read the gospel. That's why when Deacon Bob preaches, I read the gospel. When Deacon Bob reads the gospel, I preach. But only ordained people are to read the gospel. That's the way it is in our Anglican polity. Now, when the apostles received the Holy Spirit in the upper room from Jesus, this was not in the same manner that they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In the upper room, Jesus gave his breath to them, his ruach, okay, the Hebrew word for breath or spirit. They received his breath or spirit, enabling them to get out of the upper room and follow him to Galilee, where he made breakfast for them on the shore of the Galilee in John chapter 21. And asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And he forgave the three-time denial by asking him three times if he loved Jesus. He transformed Peter from a fisherman into a shepherd. Jesus also spoke to them as recorded in Matthew chapter 28 on the top of a hillside in the Galilee when he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," and then he turned and said,
"Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This was before Jesus ascended to the Father on the 40th day of his resurrection. Now on that 40th day, before he left the Mount of Olives and went to heaven, Jesus further defined his expectation of the apostles, and he told them that in just a few days they would receive the full anointing of power from the Holy Spirit. And he said this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. That's from Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Some of my favorites. Jesus promised to send them the Holy Spirit, who was also called the Counselor, Comforter, and Spirit of Truth. He was just days away from that 43rd day after Passover. They just had to patiently wait a little longer. Pentecost is not only a Christian holiday, but it's also known as Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks. It was the 50th day after Passover, an agricultural festival when farmers brought the first sheaf of wheat from their crop and offered it to God. As a sign of gratitude and as a prayer that the rest of the crop would safely be harvested, both Passover and Pentecost brought to mind the great memories of the Exodus from Egypt, when God fulfilled his promises to Abraham by rescuing his people. Passover was the time when the lambs were sacrificed, and people recalled that they were saved by the blood of the lamb. The Israelites were saved from the angel of death who killed the firstborn of the Egyptians, and on that very night, they passed through the Red Sea into the Sinai Desert on dry land. And then 50 days after Passover, they came to Mount Sinai, where Moses received the law, the Ten Commandments. That day became Shavuot, the day of Pentecost. The apostles gathered in one place when suddenly a sound, a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Please remember that the Hebrew word for wind is the same as breath, and also spirit, and that is ruach. The word for holy is kadosh,
And the ha is the article, or the. So you put it all together and you have the Holy Spirit, in Hebrew, is Ruach HaKodesh. The Greek word pneuma means to breathe, to blow, the wind. And it's important to note that breath, or the spirit, like the wind, is invisible and powerful. I've asked before, I said, you know, can you see the wind? No, you can see the effects of it. Can you see the Holy Spirit? No, you can see the effects of it. That day of Pentecost, the apostles were further ordained by the Holy Spirit. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were not only ordained that day, but they were transformed and changed, being filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and their fear and doubt was removed and replaced with boldness that would allow them to bear a powerful witness of the truth about Jesus of Nazareth and his resurrection. That day, as they witnessed to the people who heard them speaking in languages of many visitors who were in Jerusalem for the festival of Shavuot, Peter would boldly witness to the crucifixion of Jesus and proclaim that he is still alive. Later in that second chapter of Acts, Luke wrote that Peter's message was so powerful and clear that, and I quote, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow, that's more than First Baptist can hold. That's more than most churches around here can hold. But isn't that amazing? The apostles were transformed from followers to leaders of the church. And that's why Pentecost Sunday is called the birthday of the church. And so we wear red in honor of the Holy Spirit and of the power that comes from the Holy Spirit, which is life-changing. Not only for the apostles, but also for those who would hear their message about this person called Jesus of Nazareth and the eternal life that he offers to all who believe in him. Through the Holy Spirit, the creative power of God himself, he does his work right here in our midst, transforming the world with the power of heaven, starting with those parts of the earth, the bodies, minds, and hearts, and lives of the followers of Jesus as a community, the church, the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, Luke puts the emphasis on the fact that they were all together in one place, and the Holy Spirit came not to divide, but to unite. The coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost fulfills Jesus' promise, and the Holy Spirit will comfort and counsel, giving each of us the words to speak in witness of Jesus, guiding believers of Jesus. That day of Pentecost, the whole body of believers in Jesus the Messiah was transformed into a new creation in which heaven and earth were joined together. That day, the precious gift of the Holy Spirit brought about the fulfillment of the words, the kingdom of God is at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.